Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hello everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is Dudes on Hockey. Decided to try something different this week because it's really not much to do this week, so we might as well try something new, dude. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've kind of thrown me off with your new intro. Usually you say the episode number and introduce both of us, but I guess you're feeling like a renegade.
A little bit.
So is this is how it's going to be during the lockout?
It might be. It might be. I got a note from a friend of mine saying he's going to grow a beard. He's going to grow a lockout beard. Sounds interesting. I'm not doing that, but I figured this is my own way of dealing with the lockout. I got to switch things up and try and forget the fact that the entire preseason has now been canceled. The idea that the regular season is going to start on time is basically a joke at this point. And we're definitely looking down the barrel of a long hockey absence.
I just want to say canceling the preseason is basically doing us all a favor, right?
Amen.
So I don't care about that at all. I don't think the owners or the players care about that. But you're right. I mean, the prospect of the season starting really anytime soon is bleaker and bleaker with each passing day. And I know they did get together, I guess, this weekend and agree, like, I guess, which kinds of, you know, snacks could be served at the next meeting and, you know, how large the chunks of ice should be in the bags for the penalty box. But other than that, they have made zero headway as far as we know in terms of the large grand scale issues. And I'm honestly a little troubled by some of the things that are starting to come out. Adrian Dater wrote a very long piece basically saying, two things. One is that he feels that there will be no hockey this year at all, which I found to be depressing, although he's kind of a depressing guy anyways.
Right.
And the second is he basically said that this is the players putting their foot down and saying, they basically want Gary Bettman gone, gone from the NHL period. And that some of them seem to be willing to dig in until that's the case.
Right.
Dude, how realistic do you think is that? Are those players just grasping at something that's not possible?
Yes, basically. Short answer, yes. Gary Bettman, while people are quick to show that he has presided over, what, four work stoppages now? At least three.
I think this is the third.
And there might have been four. But anyway, three, which is more than any other commissioner, I believe, in major sports, and certainly is hated by fans and players alike, has made the owners a fair amount of money. And the unfortunate fact is it's the owners that hire and fired this guy. So as long as the owners think that they're going to get what they want with Gary Bettman at the helm, they have no reason to make a change. I don't see that happening. But one thing that to me indicates that this is not going to go very well for the players is there's already some dissension. I don't know if you read Puck Daddy yesterday. There was I don't know where this appeared, if it was on Twitter or someone's blog, but Chris Bartsch basically said that there's a lot of dudes out there making a bunch of money, you know, like top players, and there's players like him that he didn't quite go Latrell Sprewell and said he's got mouths to feed, but he certainly implied that guys in his position in the NHL, and there are certainly more players in his position in the NHL than not, are, you know, looking to... It seemed like he was not happy with how people have dug in, and they should be more considerate of players like him that aren't making enough money in a year to retire for the rest of their lives. And there's going to be a lot of guys that need to work after their hockey careers are over. And there's not much that... There's not a lot of representation in the union for those guys. So I'm sure the owners read that and were very encouraged that there's going to be internal dissension in the union and that they're eventually going to get what they want. And given the owners are the ones that have all the money, I can't help but agree with that sentiment. what did you think about Chris Bartsch's statement?
Well, first of all, here's a little segment of it, dude. Okay. Here's what he wrote on Twitter, by the way. Mm-hmm. And after he admitted it, he was basically hammered. But okay. Okay.
Shocking.
I wonder if any, and this, by the way, Chris Bartsch, the pillar of integrity last year, accused of throwing around racist statements on the ice. I just want to remind everybody that. Okay.
Great.
I wonder if the owners of Boston, New York, Washington, et cetera, have endured any of the injuries that I or any other player in the NHL have endured. They probably sit there smoking the same brand of cigar, sipping the same cognac, and going on vacation to one of the five houses they own, while we sit here knowing they want to take 20% of our paychecks. One half to three quarters of my peers will have to work for the next 50 years of their lives. Okay, so first of all, Chris Bartsch, I understand you're frustrated, but you're also making $750,000 a year.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting me to feel sorry for you, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for you. I'm sorry.
Right.
Now, I do understand that as people's income increases, their way of life increases as well. And I'm sure he has a way more expensive house than I do. Although he's living in, I don't know, Ohio or something like that. So I doubt it. Actually, he probably doesn't. Yeah. He probably paid the same I did for my house, and he probably has like 10 bedrooms, dude.
Right. Probably.
Anyways, but their standard of living is different. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you know, dude, to go on and write this 26 post long Twitter message, boo hoo, about how I have two kids and one on the way, and I'm not allowed to make my $750,000, and that some of my peers are going to have to work for the next 50 years. Now, I'm not sure. I think that's crazy. Like, I mean, I know he was probably had a few too many Molsons, and this is, right, you know, fueling this argument, but I think it made him look stupid, mm-hmm, actually, mm-hmm, like, and you know, made me less sympathetic towards the players,
right,
actually,
right,
because you know, the people I feel sorry for are the people at the arena.
Yeah.
The blue coats at the arena,
yeah,
who don't have it work basically,
right,
for, you know, 41 games plus preseason. There's no paychecks for those people. And the businesses, the Henry's High Lifes, the Paisanos, the businesses around the arena, they are going to suffer because there's no hockey.
Right.
And, you know, and we've seen this be crippling to some businesses, mm-hmm, in the downtown area. I feel sorry for those people.
Right.
I don't feel sorry for Chris Bartsch not being able to make $750,000. I don't.
Right.
I don't, dude. So I'm not sure I see it as dissension, but I do think it's interesting that the players can speak out like this, but the owners are subject to fine if they do.
Yeah, the GMs, Jim Devolano of the Detroit Red Wings, said something where he really admittedly, almost as stupidly, referred to the players as cattle, I believe, and the owners as ranchers. Needless to say, that particular analogy didn't go over so well, and the Red Wings were fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for this slip-up. I don't think the players have the same kind of rules in place where they can fine everybody this much, but clearly there's always going to be people when you have a dispute like this, a labor dispute, you're going to have people on both sides that are more into the fight than others, or less into the fight, and I, you know, Chris Bartsch may be more on the fringes, but you're right, in terms of framing the issue, this is the poorest possible way for the players to frame it, which is, I am in trouble financially because of the lockout. The way to frame this issue, if you want people to care about your side, if you are the players, is this is essentially an issue of fairness, and this is an extremely unfair situation for the players. And you don't talk about the fact that you're making $750,000 a year.
Well, he didn't bring that up in his 32 post message.
Yeah.
I had to look it up on CapGeek, you know, but I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, and I'm not in on exactly all the details, but you know, if someone wants to take 20% of your check back, mm-hmm, and you're paying taxes, you know, sure. I mean, that ends up being 45% of your check, basically.
Yeah, right.
And I get that. That sucks. That's that. I wouldn't want to do that at my job. No one would want to do that at their job. So I don't think that is fair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it's being framed here.
Right, exactly.
And I think you're right. Like, this is not a good way to get sympathy from me, Joe Fan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not on board with you, Chris Bartsch. You could take your questionable ethics somewhere else, because you're not exactly the guy who should be the puppet for the players anyways.
Yeah.
I'm sure PK Subban is really excited that you're the one talking now. Isn't that who he said it to?
Might have.
I think so.
I don't know for sure.
Well, he says he didn't say it, but...
the whole lockout thing is very frustrating. You get frustrated the fact that there's no hockey, and then you turn against sort of both teams, and then you think about the actual issues at hand. And I find the player's position to be much more agreeable and persuasive than the owner's position, but it's hard to argue with people say it's millionaires fighting billionaires. I mean, because that's exactly what is happening at the end of the day. But also, they may, one thing that I think would be good for both groups is they may get a nice little wake-up call here like the NBA did, which is they're going to miss a bunch of games and no one is going to care. I mean, people in Canada are going to care because there's like Canadian DNA that says you have to like hockey. But in terms of this experiment that Gary Bettman launched in the 90s where Southern, you know, or the NHL launched, you know, Southern franchises, Florida and Dallas and, you know, these kinds of markets... I think you're going to find, you know, especially like in Florida where there's SEC college football right now. I mean, these people are not going to care. And I think the NHL may have put themselves on a bit too high of a pedestal thinking that, you know, fans will demand that the players cave or fans will demand that hockey is played. And they may find out that people just, it's just not as big of an issue as they would like to think.
Well, you'll find an alternative to entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And all of us will.
You're wearing a shirt right now.
I'm wearing a San Francisco Bulls shirt. You know, we're going to go. We'll talk about that more in a little bit, but... You know, we're going to head up there and I'm going to go a few times, you know, and if the product is good and if you can tolerate being in the Cow Palace, then, you know,
Lord knows the prices are going to be a lot better.
Sure. You'll end up going. And listen, I grew up as a kid, you know, before the Sharks were here.
Mm-hmm.
I was a huge Golden State Warriors fan, huge through high school. The Chris Mullen, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway days.
Tyrone Hill.
Yeah, oh yeah, baby. Byron Houston. All those guys. I love
Judd
the Warriors.
Bushler.
Warriors would have been my number one choice of team over anybody else. Even the 49ers when they were in there. I love the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously any Bay Area sports fan knows what's happened to that franchise. And I just got so turned off by how they were being run that I just kind of ignored them.
Mm-hmm.
And this year... they might not be that bad.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, if there's no hockey and I start watching a few Warriors games again, might be harder, you know, not necessarily for me because mm-hmm. I'll come back. I mean, you know, I'll come back when the Sharks come back. But for other people who maybe feel like me, they might lose some people over this. If the Warriors can capitalize on this, if the Niners keep playing well, the Giants make a deep run, the Earthquakes are good,
mm-hmm.
the Sharks are big losers in this. If they... are absent from what looks like right now, you've got, you know, three teams right now who are playoff teams at least in the Bay Area, in the Earthquakes, Niners, and Giants, and maybe even championship caliber for all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
A's?
A's, dude, I forgot the A's. That's because I don't like them, but
hey.
Dude, A's are going to make the playoffs too, so... Yep. The Sharks are definitely in jeopardy, dude. And let's talk about that Puck Daddy post that kind of piggybacked on what I said on the last podcast where, and I still feel this way, the longer this goes, the worse this is for the Sharks. It's just bad. Not mm-hmm. just like from a financial or fan standpoint, but from their window of opportunity to be a Stanley Cup winning franchise, the older every day... Dan Boyle and Joe Thornton get older,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're overseas playing for some other team. We know Dan Boyle's not, but we saw Rick Nash got hurt this week. Now, evidently, it's not serious.
Right.
But he hurt himself.
Yep.
Playing for not the New York Rangers.
Right.
You know, I mean, Glenn Sather probably threw up like when he read that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not good. Like, you've got these guys out there running around.
Yep.
And you know, someone, I'm telling you, someone's going to get a major injury. A major injury.
Of course.
During this lockout.
It's inevitable.
And when the NHL comes back, they're not going to be able to play because they were playing in Denmark or wherever they are. You know?
Right.
So it's not good. It's not good news for the Sharks. The team that's already old and their window is closing shut. The longer it goes, the worse it is. And Detroit, same situation.
Yeah, they're in the same kind of...
Same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah, I looked at you sent me earlier this week, you know, talking about the Sharks franchise, the Worcester Sharks roster or their reserve list. And needless to say, when you hear about all of these young, high draft picks going to the AHL to play, Jordan Eberle and others, and you look at the Worcester Sharks roster, you know, they have Danny Grubach, which is great. You know, he won the sort of the equivalent of the Norris in the AHL a couple years back before he went to the KHL. But you know, it's not like the Worcester Sharks are going to be tearing up that league either. I mean, you know, which sort of goes to the same point, the Sharks are not that deep in terms of prospects. We've talked several times before about how the Sharks are dead last in hockey's futures estimation of the prospect system, and the Sharks are hurting, and we're talking, you know, guys that we've been excited about in the past, talking about their potential for the Sharks, guys like Nick Petrecki, Marek Videnski, and others, you know, I can't say those guys are really making a lot of strides in order to really look like that they're ready to play or they're ever going to be ready to play at the NHL level. So that's a little depressing as well. So, I mean, we might have a terrible Worcester Sharks season. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to be excited about in terms of the Sharks. You know, like you think and Greg Wyshynski thinks the Sharks are not going to be served well by not playing, you know, not having games during the lockout, and our minor league system isn't going to improve. And in the meantime, they're going to probably just get killed a few more times because they're going to be playing against some of these top flight players that aren't going to be playing in the NHL.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, it seems like Daryl Hunt, who covers the Worcester Sharks for Sharks Page, seems really excited actually about this group of players that's going to be in Worcester. And I think he's made comments it's maybe the best collection of players they've had.
Hmm.
He really likes some of the young college free agents that we've signed, Tennyson and someone else. You know, he seems pretty high on it, likes the defense a lot. The goaltending situation is pretty good.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And they did bring in two guys, you know, who are, you know, Bracken Kearns and Matsumoto, I think the guy's name is, you know, the other
John
guy,
Matsumoto.
Who are, you know, proven 30 goal scorers at the AHL level. Not every AHL team is going to have a, you know,
a Jordan Eberle yeah.
on it. You know, we saw Jeff Skinner was assigned to the AHL team and he's not going, you know, and doesn't have to go.
Right.
So, not all of them are going to be totally stacked, but it is a good point, dude. You know, the Sharks, we have said this many times that, you know, once Marleau and Thornton's contracts are up in 2 years, this team's going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot different. And Doug Wilson has stuck by that statement that they're not in the business of rebuilding. In 2 years, I wonder if that's going to be the same statement.
Right. I find it difficult to believe that the Sharks are going to be able to ice a team that is anywhere close to the caliber of the team now when you have Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton. Unless some really sort of painful times are gone through, those guys get... Basically, what I mean is those guys get traded. Those
right.
guys get traded for young picks and prospects.
Well,
and we see those guys not gently go into that good night. We see those guys shipped out of town, which is going to really anger a lot of Sharks fans. But in terms of the health of the long-term, you know, long-term health of the franchise, that actually may be the right call. I don't know.
So let me ask you this, dude, because I don't know the answer. Let's say we lose the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Whole season's gone. Does a year, like Joe Thornton has 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Does his contract still have 2 years left?
I believe so.
Or do we lose a whole year?
No, I believe he doesn't get paid this year. Like
right.
he's not going to get paid this year.
Right.
So every player would have a nice, you know, actionable legal situation if they said, oh, yeah, your contract, we didn't actually pay you, but yeah, that actually counts against the contract as if we fulfilled it. So I think everybody just gets another year tacked on if they lose the whole year.
So it's the same value just tacked on. So it's like if you had 2 years left, or as these guys who signed, you know, Ryan Suter, his contract never started.
Right.
So it would just get tacked on. That, you know what, dude? That's actually, in my opinion, worse news for the Sharks.
It might be.
It's worse news because now you've got Dan Boyle, who we love, another year older. So now he's being paid till he's 39.
Yeah. Something
you
like
know,
that. Yeah.
And Joe Thornton, another, you know, Marlowe, more importantly.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
you've got two more years of Marlowe. And he's a year older. And Havlat. You know, it's just, it's discouraging.
It would be, that would be a point for a collective bargaining as well. I mean, if they lose the whole season and we're sitting here next, this time next year, even more out of things to talk about than we are right now, and we still haven't seen any NHL hockey, that would be a point that would be collectively bargained.
I just don't want to turn into the old dinosaur, you know, which is... I fear the direction this is heading, you know? The old dinosaur team that had a formula that used to work and now
and just holds
they
on
refuse
way too long.
To change.
Yeah, right.
They just refuse to change. But we certainly won't know. You know, there seemed to be some new energy around the team with Adam Burrish and Brad Stewart coming in, and they vowed to play a different way, and we never got to see if that was going to be the case. So can they keep that momentum going, you know, when they come back? Well, it's possible. And I certainly hope I'm wrong. This is kind of how I'm feeling right now. Did you see Scott Gomez is coming back to the ECHL?
No way.
Yes.
Alaska again?
Yes. Scott Gomez and two other NHL players, Nate Thompson from the Tampa Bay Lightning and Joey Crabb are all playing in the ECHL for Alaska during the lockout. Thoughts?
Well, they may be slightly better than they were before with Scott Gomez.
What if he still sucks in the ECHL? I'm fearful for him.
I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible.
Do you think that some of these other NHL players who are around the Bay Area, do you think one of them might go to the Bulls?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
A Tommy Wingles who's just sitting here doing nothing.
Maybe a young guy like that. Maybe. It's just the caliber of play is different. We saw Stockton Thunder play a couple years ago. We enjoyed the game. It was good quality hockey. Probably on the same order as... You know, I had some conversations with friends about the Bulls and what caliber of hockey are we talking about? Like, who are the players that make an ECHL team? We're talking about players that are pretty good junior players, and we're talking about players that were Division I college players, I think, for the most part. We're not talking, you know, it's not like you could just have some guy who can tear it up at Sharks ice and go and make the ECHL. I mean, if they're in the A-League, but as I said 2 weeks ago, Victor Tikhonov is playing in the A-League at the Sharks ice right now.
Right.
Or was. So, I mean, we're still talking about a pretty good caliber of hockey player, you know, D1 and so forth, but that's still a pretty big step down from the NHL. And, you know, needless to say, the accommodations are going to be worse. He's playing at the Cow Palace instead of Sharks, you know, or Vancouver. He's going to be riding the bus. You know, the ECHL is spread all around the country. You know, the travel is going to be pretty brutal. You know, the game schedules are worse. A lot of times you play, you know, both nights on the weekend, 2-3 nights in a row.
I guess I'm throwing out something just kind of wacky here, but if you're Joe Pavelski or you're Brent Burns, you live here already. Your family's here. I mean, if the Bulls are, you sign with the Bulls,
right?
And they pay you the $400 a week or whatever. Luckily, hopefully those guys don't need the money. They'd be doing it just to play and be around their families, still play. And when they go on a road trip, they drive themselves, dude. Like, you know, I mean, drive yourself. You know, you'll sit on the crappy bus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying one of those caliber of players, but I think it is interesting. Scott Gomez certainly doesn't need the money. He's been paid a lot to do nothing for the last couple of years. So he's doing it to be back home, you know, in Alaska. So I was more thinking, are there guys, you know, from the Bay Area, anyone, any players with local ties that you think maybe could come back and do something like this? I mean, the only other player that sticks out to me is, you know, Brooks Orpik was from the Bay Area.
Yeah, but I think he moved when he was like a really young kid to Canada or Pittsburgh or wherever he grew up.
Doesn't want to see his elementary school. I was kind of tossing it out there, dude. So you're saying no chance.
I think it's a very, very slim chance, especially because of what you talked about when we talked about Thornton and Nash and people going to the KHL. you get hurt. It's possible to get hurt in those situations. They may be the best player on the ice by a long shot, but that doesn't mean, you know, you're immune to pulling your knee when you go into the boards awkwardly, or someone could still blindside you, or something quirky or freak could happen. You know, those kinds of things can still happen. So and, you know, as we certainly remember from this Stockton Thunder game, there's a lot of hitting at that level, just like there's a lot of hitting at the D1 college level. These guys like to plow into each other. And so, yeah, in some ways it could be a bit more dangerous. So I, you know, just from a pure risk perspective, you know, these guys would have to buy insurance and all this kind of stuff. I just don't see that happening. So
will you be getting your Hans Benson jersey for the San Francisco Bulls?
I do like Hans Benson. And I am seriously considering buying a jersey. So should we talk about the Bulls?
I want to talk about one more thing before we get to that. I'm kind of quickly going through the Bulls' current roster right now.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that they do not have a goalie signed.
Huh.
Which is kind of important. So yeah. It certainly makes me believe that there is an agreement in place with the San Jose Sharks to have one of the goalies mm-hmm. from the Worcester camp be assigned to the Bulls and be their starting goalie. And, you know, we're talking about Stalock, Sateri, or Heemskerk. And I think that they have a fourth goalie
right.
in Worcester camp, someone from Fair State. I don't remember who it is. One of those guys mm-hmm. is, and I think the Fair State guy is not Sharks property. He's Worcester Sharks property. So
right.
could not be assigned, I don't think, down mm-hmm. to the ECHL. So who do you expect out of that group to be the one that's in the ECHL, and is that a good or bad thing?
I think it's going to be Sateri with Heemskerk, maybe slightly less likely, and Stalock's probably going to be the starter in Worcester, and we've talked about this before, where you probably want your second best guy to be in the ECHL so he gets playing time. So for that reason, I would go with Sateri. If they're still not quite certain about Stalock's health and they think, you know, they don't want to play him a full load, then maybe Sateri they'd keep up and they do a little bit of platoon action and they put Heemskerk in the ECHL. But I think Sateri or Heemskerk is pretty likely. I mean, that's a little bit of good detective work there, dude. I mean, I haven't heard anything about goalies, and it makes sense. We've talked so many times about how the Sharks have so many goalies in the system right now. Why wouldn't the Bulls want to take advantage of that and get a guy who is almost for certain better than anyone they could get on the free agent market?
Yeah, the Worcester Sharks are so stacked to really actually very deep on defense that I wonder if we won't see a player, maybe even we're talking about local ties, dude, maybe Senna Akalatse mm-hmm. ends up in a Bulls uniform.
Right.
At least to start the season. Because when, you know, the season starts, maybe you'll see a guy, you know, like a Matt Irwin or something be called up to San Jose and, mm-hmm. and then he would go back to Worcester. But Akalatse played really well last year by all accounts, but maybe him or, you know, I don't think it would be Petrecki. It wouldn't be Taylor Doherty. It wouldn't be Matt Irwin. It certainly wouldn't be Danny Grew, but you know, one of those other players ends up, in with the Bulls, you know, at least the goalie, but I wouldn't be shocked. And we've seen NHL teams do this, like the Ducks, when we went to mm-hmm. the Bakersfield Stockton game. You know, they were riddled with Ducks prospects, and the Thunder still beat them.
That's right.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, dude, let's talk about the Bulls game, because that's happening. So the 13th, we're putting an outing together. A lot of you have emailed me. I thank you for that. It looks like we're going to have a really good turnout. If everybody pulls through, then we're going to have a really, really big group. And the operative part of that statement being, if everybody pulls through, because I haven't got a whole lot of payment yet. If you still want to go, it's technically not too late, but you better, you know, we're recording this on Sunday. You better be emailing me and looking to pay me in the next 24 hours.
How much does it do?
I'm doing $22 seats. So this is going to be a very affordable situation for everyone. We got some groups. We got a group of five already signed up. We got more groups of, you know, people bringing their friends. Guy's going to bring his son.
Awesome.
It's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be a family outing. We're not looking to be rowdy and hammered and trying to make, you know, a mess of the Cow Palace. I mean, it's going to be a fun affair to see some good quality hockey.
If people haven't emailed you yet, they still can. Is that right?
They still can. But like I said, it better be very, very soon. Like today is the 30th. It better be, you know, before October 1st.
So you'll get an email if you've already contacted us reminding you to please, you know, pay
right
Dudes on Hockey for your ticket. And if you do not pay by
Wednesday, then you're going to be considered out, and you got to pay me. So, because I'm not going to front the money for everybody, obviously.
Sure. If you don't make it to Wednesday, let's say something happens, mm-hmm. you don't get the email, you don't listen to the podcast, you could certainly get your own ticket,
of course,
and let us know that you're coming, and we could set up a spot where we can meet. But we do want to have a large group sitting together, talk hockey, have a few beers, and enjoy the game. And if it goes well, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we're certainly up for making several trips up to see the Bulls. And like we said, we're going to expand the Bulls and Worcester Sharks coverage on this podcast. Since there's hockey going on, we're going to talk about it.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's a lot going to be a lot more entertaining for us and for you if we're talking about real hockey, as opposed to boo-hoo, the owners are now talking about this, or the players are talking
about this. Oh, my $750,000. I don't have it.
I got mouths to feed.
I'm going to have to buy a Hyundai.
Doesn't your wife drive a Hyundai?
It's a good car, dude.
Yeah,
that's my whole point. Chris Barch, not sorry for you.
Yeah.
Not sorry.
Hyundais are fine cars.
It's a fine car. You can take back your Hummer.
So anyway, let us know quickly. And those of you who said you wanted to go, you're going to get an email if you don't already have one. And I hope you'll follow all the way through. And we're going to get the kind of group that I expect we will. And it's going to be a huge success. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to meeting all the listeners. I'm looking forward to seeing Bulls hockey. I'm even almost a little bit looking forward to being at the Cow Palace again. I haven't been there in like 15 years or something. So that's going to be kind of fun. It's going to be cool.
Cool.
It's going to be cool. So that's what's coming up. So everybody act on that. And we're going to be back next week, even though, you know, not a whole lot is happening. You know, maybe we'll talk some more Worcester Sharks. We'll look a little bit more in depth into the Worcester Sharks roster next week. Or,
dude, I've got it right here, dude. I admit it. I've got the AHL Live link. Remember, I was bitching last week about how their website sucks. They've redone it. They were listening to me, dude.
They listened.
They listened. You can, coming soon, not yet, but for those of you who are equally starved for hockey, you could buy a team pass to watch all the home and away games for the Worcester Sharks for only $150.
Wow.
Dude, so
that's like the same price as NHL. And, and you get every game if you get NHL.
Yeah. So to watch every game in the AHL, $350.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, not
that's like twice as much as NHL Live.
Yeah. They're gouging you. They're gouging you.
Yeah. Well, you know, they know what side their bread is buttered on. They're going to have a huge influx of fans.
Yeah.
Why don't we jack up the price?
You know, the thing that I probably will do is I probably will, you can also buy like packs,
like a 10 pack.
Yeah.
Or something?
Like a 10 pack, a 5 pack, or you can buy a single, you know, single games, you know? So I'll probably get at least a 5 pack, mm-hmm. you know, I'll watch 5 games. And if there's another game I want to watch, then I'll go from there. But we'll be paying attention for sure.
Absolutely. So, and the podcast continues on. We're not stopping. We don't have a lockout.
No.
So we'll be
no
back again next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.